Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off. Hello, America, and happy Monday. A big news day. Just a little while ago, the United States Supreme Court unanimously, conservatives and liberals alike, ruled that Donald Trump could not be booted from the ballot like Colorado had tried to do. Five of the justices, a majority of them, went further and said that states don't have the right to jettison a federal candidate from the ballot, that it must actually be an act of Congress that does that. That becomes the official law of the land. Not everyone was in agreement. One of President Trump's appointees, Amy Coney Barrett, actually sided with the left when it came to the second part of the ruling, that only an act of Congress could keep a candidate from appearing on the presidential ballot under the insurrection clause. She said it didn't need to be ruled on now. That could have come back later. The other five justices, all conservatives, including John Roberts, actually sided there. Amy Coney Barrett goes with the left on that. But 9-0 on the overall idea that a state can't throw out President Trump under the circumstances in this case. A major win for President Trump. It sets up a second ruling by the Supreme Court later this summer on whether or not he has immunity for his actions in January 6th and in other cases that rely on his actions when he was president of the United States. We're going to have wall-to-wall coverage of that tonight on the Just the News, No Noise television show. Be sure to tune in then. We've got a great show for you today. Congressman Scott Perry is going to join us. We're going to talk about the latest in the impeachment inquiry. How much evidence there is against Joe Biden? Will the Republicans do anything now that they have the evidence? I'm suspecting that there may not be articles of impeachment. I'm sort of getting that read. You certainly heard that sentiment from the chairman of the impeachment inquiry, Chairman James Comer, on Saturday on this show here. We're going to give you a blockbuster scoop in a few seconds. One I broke this morning, Hunter Biden, another Ukrainian oligarch. Yeah, you got Russian oligarchs, a lot of them. You got Ukrainian oligarch Zolchevsky, the Burisma owner. You've got a lot of them, but we're going to tell you about another one, Dmitry Firtash. We first broke a story about him 3 years ago right here at Just the News. Today, Jason Galanis, the former business partner of Hunter Biden, now in prison in an Indian tribal bond scheme. He gave up the goods and confirmed our reporting on Dmitry Firtash and went even a little bit further. Just think about that. Joe Biden's administration, when he was Obama Biden administration, indicts this oligarch, and then Hunter Biden, within a year, is on the opposite side trying to collect money, undoing the indictment, unindicting him. Didn't do it, but he certainly got some payment out of it. We'll describe that in a second. But Scott Perry, will ask him about all of that, plus the failure of Republicans to reduce spending one bit. They haven't. In fact, the deficit is going up at about every 130 days, another $1 trillion. Almost as bad or even worse than the record of Nancy Pelosi. That's what Republicans in the House have achieved or failed to achieve. That's a really big one. Now, in the second half of the show, we're going to talk to Will Trachman. He is general counsel for Mountain States Legal Foundation. He protects the rights of individuals to live freely and securely under the Constitution. That's an important group. He has some really important things to say about the left's growing arguments that free speech should be restricted, that we should no longer have free speech in America. Lots to argue and react to in that. Barbara McQuaid, former U.S. attorney in a state, now an MSNBC analyst, she raised this question. I think Will's got some pretty strong thoughts on the importance of the First Amendment, why it was first, and why the suggestions of restraining speech are so problematic to the United States in its future. So that's our good show today. A quick reminder, as you know, our good friends at Alliance Defending Freedom have two big cases before the Supreme Court, two of them that will affect both not only the right to life, but also the protection of young women. They need your help with your best gift. If you join ADF and want to be as courageous as they are in fighting these critical Supreme Court cases, all you have to do to join, make a donation of any size, go to joinadf.org/John. joinadf.org/John. John for my name, of course, J-O-H-N. There you can make a pledge. I'd like to see us raise $5,000 for ADF's very important work. They're doing such work, Alliance Defending Freedom. Go give them the support today. $5,000 by the end of March is what we're shooting for. To do it, go to adf.org/John. All right, folks, let me get to that scoop before we go take a quick commercial break. We reported back in 2021 that Hunter Biden tried to help Dmitry Firtash, an indicted oligarch, in Ukraine who was indicted for corruption and bribery, a bribery scheme by the Obama-Biden Justice Department in 2014. A year later, Hunter Biden was trying to help him get out of it. Jason Galanis has now given confirmation to that story, as well as a whole lot more. Galanis said that at the end of the day, Hunter Biden solicited about $5 million from Firtash's people to take on this case. It was routed to a law firm where Hunter Biden was of counsel, Boies Schiller Flexner, and that Hunter Biden worked with and met with a man named Haris Yosef, who was Dmitry Firtash's right-hand man, another Ukrainian figure. And that over time, Firtash's team became dissatisfied that Hunter Biden couldn't deliver what he said he was going to deliver, which was to quash the indictment. That's the word that Jason Galanis uses. And so Galanis says they ultimately decide to take the $5 million, send $3 million of it to a technology investment that Haris Yosef was interested in called Emblem. Hunter Biden's partners had something to do with that, including Galanis. And then about $300,000, actually $275,000 is what I see in the bank records. $275,000 of the new Emblem money, which came from the Firtash money, according to Galanis, it is sent to Rosemont Seneca Bohai, the bank account and company that Hunter Biden took his other Ukrainian oligarch money from, that is of Burisma origin, Mykola Zolchevsky. So here you have a son of a sitting vice president trying to help an indicted oligarch in Ukraine, an oligarch who was indicted on his father's watch by his father's Justice Department, and try to collect money, suggesting he can make the case go away. He could quash. That is the testimony of Jason Galanis. It's backed up by a lot of records. As you know, back in 2021, we put text messages and bank records up. I found that $275,000 payment Galanis was looking at. The FBI had those records. I put those into the public today. Go read the story. It's a really remarkable story. It just shows how the Hunter Biden family business played off not only Joe Biden's responsibility in his name, but in some cases, people who had the misfortune of being on the opposite side of the Biden administration, the Obama-Biden administration, are being shaken down by his son for money with the promise that maybe they could make it go away. Burisma was thinking it could get the corruption allegations against it from the State Department and Justice Department erased. Dmitry Firtash thought he was going to get the indictment erased. Chinese officials thought they were going to get U.S. energy assets from underneath our feet here in the United States, thanks to Hunter Biden. Those are the sort of people, adversaries, enemies, figures with unscrupulous backgrounds or problems in their background, they're all making Hunter Biden rich and the Biden family enterprises rich. That's the story. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Scott Perry, I'm sure he has a lot to say about this Dmitry Firtash case in just a few seconds after these messages. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit TNUSA.com/justnews. That's TNUSA.com/justnews.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. As I told you at the top of the show, another Ukrainian oligarch, another attempt at Hunter Biden trying to cash in on millions of dollars. This one, Dmitry Firtash, a man his father's administration, Joe Biden's and the Obama administration, indicted Dmitry Firtash for corruption. And within less than a year after the indictment, Hunter Biden, according to his former business partner, Jason Galanis, was looking to cash in $5 million to maybe make the indictment go away. He didn't succeed, but he still ended up with some money. Joining us right now, somebody who's been on the forefront of the Hunter Biden investigation all the way back to 2019, when it wasn't so popular to be on that case, Congressman Scott Perry from the great state of Pennsylvania. Sir, good to have you back on the show.
Great to be with you, John. And of course, the plot just continues to thicken. And wow, there are Americans out there, certainly members of Congress on the D side, but even some on the R side that say, well, it's not enough. It's not enough. I just want to make the case and make the point that if we had half of this information on Donald Trump and any of Donald Trump's associates or family members, we'd have long been into impeachment at this point, long, and probably past it and probably done with it. But as you know, and I hope you find it amazing as I do, that while Hunter Biden is not, you know, a point of interest, so to speak, for the Oversight and Judiciary Committee, only in that he's a witness to whatever his father did or didn't do. Do you find it amazing that all the Democrats circle around this guy who's probably I think legitimately accused of pedophilia, certainly accused of other moral crimes, a known drug addict by his own admission, yet they circle around him like he's a saint. And can you imagine if the shoe were on the other foot and this were Don Jr., I bet you half, who has done nothing wrong, but just by the accusation, most of the Republican Party would be running for the hills. But yet with this guy, they're acting like he's a saint, and he's a known criminal, right? He's just right now yet to be indicted for most of it, yet to be convicted for most of it. But by his own admission, he's a known criminal, and yet most of the Democrat Party in the House of Representatives are happy to stand in solidarity with him like he's a saint.
Yeah, there has been this protection racket around Hunter and Joe Biden. I saw it in 2019 when I wrote my first stories and they turned against us. But at the end of the day now, there's this real pattern, right? The most unsavory, the most adversarial nations in the world, Hunter Biden is targeting. We did a story last week. He had a concerted effort at going after Russian oligarchs. We have the oligarch who was the crooked oligarch, at least the State Department considered him crooked, for Burisma. Now we got this other one, Dmitry Firtash. Dmitry Firtash is indicted by the Biden-Obama administration in 2014. And a year later, Hunter Biden, according to Galanis, I actually interviewed Firtash's right-hand man. They confirm it. Hunter Biden was offering to make the indictment go away. Quash the indictment is the actual word. Do we really want the sons of presidents or vice presidents offering to maybe make criminal cases go away under their father?
Well, let's be real clear about what we're talking about here. Hunter Biden, of course, had no ability, authority, had no way of making anything go away, right? He's not elected to anything. He's not appointed to anything in a position of authority. The only way that that could be done was by having his father or somebody he knew based on his last name and access do it. And if he's taking money to do that for the Biden family, understand under 18 USC 201, that is a crime. You know this, right, John? This is a crime. They keep on saying this doesn't have anything to do with Joe Biden, the president, or criminal activity. That was what Hunter Biden was providing. That's the point. He was providing it, which is a criminal act. And the fact that Joe Biden would be involved implicates him in the crime.
That's really the dynamic here, right? And all these business partners, Galanis, Devin Archer, they all make clear that there is no game here. There's no business if they're not selling access to Joe Biden, if not selling it. And when Joe Biden meets with the Russian oligarch, when he meets with the executive from Burisma, who at that time, his own administration says that company is corrupt, what signal is he sending to his son's client? He's making it clear he's part of this, correct?
Of course. He's the insurance policy. He's what is of value to the people that are willing to pay up, you know, for instance, $5 million. They know that Hunter can't provide anything, right? The only person that really, if Hunter's not going to introduce his father, he's got to introduce somebody else that can get the job done. Everybody knows Hunter can't get the job done, so who can get the job done? That's why his father is introduced. That's the insurance policy to the people that are willing to pay the $5 million to get the guy off the hook. It's Joe Biden.
For a period of the time when these foreign clients, these foreign influence peddling things are going on, Hunter Biden is a naval officer. He was given a commission by his father's administration. Obviously, he gets kicked out eventually in late 2014 for alleged cocaine use. But the idea that a Navy officer is out there in Moscow conspiring to maybe open up a Moscow office, he's shaking down with his business partners, the Russian oligarchs, the Ukrainian oligarchs, the Chinese oligarchs. He's actually on the flight with his father to China while he's a naval officer. Is there any added responsibility that the Navy had to maybe keep an eye on what he was doing, since this was clearly playing with our enemies and our adversaries in the world?
Well, if you're an officer, you have some level of a security background check. I don't know exactly what security clearance he might have had, but you certainly have had a background check. The military obviously does have some interest. The question is, in this regard, do they have responsibility? And I think that's a little bit questionable. But I will say this, John. When you said he was allegedly bounced out for cocaine use, as we say it in the military, he pissed hot. He took a urinalysis and it came up hot for cocaine. That's not an allegation. Those tests, they don't lie about that. And let's face it, he got put in there because of his father's influence. And it was just to pad his resume and clean him up a little bit. And the Navy and the U.S. government and our armed forces compromised itself and every other member of the Navy that was serving, of the armed forces that was serving honorably, compromised all of them for the sake of Hunter Biden, the Biden family, and what they were seeking to do, which was clean up their corrupt son's image. And they were using the United States Armed Forces and the goodwill that has garnered over years and years of sacrifice and service to do it. It is the height of immorality and disrespect for the uniformed services.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think a lot of people are just coming to grips with the complexity of what Hunter Biden was doing and what titles he had and what he was selling and who he was engaged with, the sort of people that he was engaged with. Do you have any doubt from all the testimony you've now seen that there was an intentional effort to target people who had legal issues or who had their futures were potentially in the hands of his father? It seems like there was a conscious effort to target people like that from Hunter Biden and his business associates.
Well, I would say this, John, all the circumstantial evidence, right? The circumstances point in that direction, and there is no circumstantial evidence to the otherwise. So the fact that his father was in charge of the Ukraine foreign policy circumstances and Hunter ended up there, the fact that President Obama had Joe Biden as vice president go over and meet Xi, and Hunter Biden went along with him and then consummated deals either while he was there or shortly thereafter, that's all circumstantial evidence, and that points the way to exactly what was happening. This was a plan. This was the plan, and it was conceived and then carried out for those purposes of raising money based on his father's influence and the trouble that these people rightly were in, that he was dealing with.
You have a good sense of what your colleagues are thinking. I know the vast majority of the Republican caucus has grave concerns with the behavior of Joe Biden in facilitating or enabling his son to make this sort of money for the family business. Do you think we will see articles of impeachment against Joe Biden, or do you think this will end up with some other resolution? Over the weekend on this show, Chairman Comer said that, listen, there's not going to be any accountability if we do impeachment articles because the Senate won't even take them up. So I'm looking for something else, the great punishment. What's your guess of what will happen here based on how well you know your colleagues?
Well, knowing my colleagues, unfortunately, what's right in front of most people in America that they see very clearly, and quite honestly, the world, it's not going to be enough as it currently stands for some of our colleagues. So I'm going to say right now, based on what we currently have, which should be plenty of circumstantial evidence to impeach this president, I don't see it getting there currently. But I want to caveat that with the fact we're still standing by for the records, as you know, John, because you daylighted this stuff. You brought this to the fore, the emails with the pseudonyms. We're still waiting for that. We're still waiting for a whole bunch of bank records and other text and email communications. The Bidens are fighting us, and the administration, in terms of the Department of Justice, the FBI, IRS, and those type of agencies, are also stonewalling and fighting us. So depends on when we get that stuff and what that stuff is that will lead the and chart the course from that point forward. I just don't want to speculate what potentially could be in there. We don't know, but we do know that it has revealed other crimes in the stuff that we've already gotten. And so, you know, if history is as prologue, we can expect to find out more things. The question is, will we ever get them? And if we do, when will that be?
Yeah, will it be in time for the American voters to make a better informed decision? They're way more informed now. I mean, that's one of the great things about what's happened. The voters go into this election a lot more educated than the misinformation they were given in the 2020 election. I want to pivot to something else because I remember the excitement you had when Republicans got control of the House and the opportunity to control spending and begin to reshape government. Two speakers later, tons of votes later, there are still not even 14 spending bills for the 2024 fiscal year, which we're now almost 6 months into. Where are we in that process? I know you have been consistent and you fought hard to do what you promised the American people you were going to do. Is there going to be a light at the end of the tunnel? Will we see some reduction in spending before the end of this fiscal year?
The answer to that is no, we will not see it. That's my prediction, but it's, I think, based on pretty good knowledge of the circumstances. And again, our history in the past. What we've done is just for the sake of time, traded what we call an omnibus, one of these huge spending bills that everything's in there, right? They throw everything in there. There's not the individual bills with individual votes. We usually get that right before December, right before Christmas in December. That's going to be broken into two smaller bills in March. But it'll have the same effect. There'll be no reductions in spending. There'll be an increase in spending, and there'll be very little in the way of policy reform that gets to the things that are concerning Americans, like the spying on Americans, a wide open border, and the destruction of the military, among other things that we can't afford to do, and we're borrowing money now, John. I think it's at the tune of $1 trillion every 100 to 130 days now. That's the rate we're taking on, an extra $1 trillion.
Yeah. No, it's just amazing. We had that story this morning. It's just jaw-dropping to all of us who can remember when $100 billion was a big deficit, and now trillions are the new coin of realm.
We're at 34 now. We'll be at 35 by May.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really stunning. Can you tell us, do you think there'll be something in this, whatever this omnibus broken into two is, for the border? Is there something that can give some relief to not only the border states, but all states that are suffering from the open border?
That's when we say we wanted policy reforms in the way of limitations on spending, such that we would say you can only spend this money to do X, or you can't spend this money unless you have remained in Mexico. None of those policies are going to survive this negotiation. We put them in our bills, but again, our bills are not the ones that the Senate's taking up. They're writing this. The staff is already writing this, and they're not taking into account the Homeland Security bill that we passed. They're not interested in it, and there'll be nothing in there to actually secure the border. So members are going to actually vote to continue the current policies of unbridled and unmitigated illegal foreign nationals pouring across our border, you know, for the rest of, well, actually, as you know, John, this is for last fiscal year. We're not even talking about this year yet.
I know.
We're like you said,
we're working 6 months backwards. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
No, it's so frustrating.
It's insanity.
Do you think that Republicans have muddled their chance to tell the American people how they would have been different in going into the 2024? The argument for 2024 is give us all three branches of government. We'll do a really good job. But the House had 1/3, hasn't done what it said it was going to do. How much does that hurt reelection chances?
I think it does. It does throw a wrench in the gears there a little bit. But, you know, it's always in context, John. And, of course, context is as much as we couldn't get done. Now, we didn't have any help at all from the Senate. We didn't have any help, obviously, from the executive branch. But just think about how much worse it will be if the Democrats control the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And so that's the context here. While we should have done more, in my opinion, and could have done more, in my opinion, the other side is actually going to be where right now they're just holding the line on the things that they've done. They will go completely on offense and make it even worse if they're given the total control of the executive and legislative branches.
That is the real danger here, isn't it? It really is a pressure point. Last question, big ruling from the Supreme Court, 9-0. There was no reason for Democrats to try to throw Donald Trump off the primary ballot. Colorado obviously applies to all the states. A very clear conclusion that states don't have the right to do this. It has to be an act of Congress. Your reaction to that?
Oh, I would say this. While that was the correct decision, 9-0 decision, so you know it's absolutely correct, even the ultra-liberals on the court, conservatives, and just regardless of your political stripe, Americans shouldn't see this as a great victory. This is obvious. Obviously, the court should have done this, and what it does highlight is the waste of time that we have put the country through and the court system through on this quixotic crusade to throw Donald Trump off the ballot. It's just ridiculous on the face of it. Let's not go party in the streets like it's a great victory. It's obvious. It should never have come to this. It should have been dismissed by a lower court and with prejudice, quite honestly. And I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't be happy for our country that was the decision, but we shouldn't see this as a great victory. It should have just never happened in the first place.
They took the words of the Constitution at their meeting today. The justices did. What do you think that might signal for this next big one, which is the immunity question coming up in the fall? Do you think they'll stay literally to the words of the Constitution?
Well, John, well, here's my concern, because that is in the same vein as this. My concern is that the court has given us an overwhelming victory on this and given them, you know, maybe giving them some space to find on behalf of the other side, you know, to think that the court isn't swayed by political opinion and national sentiment is to not live in the world today. And my concern is that they won't want to give what would be seen as two overarching victories to former President Trump. And so that they'll try and find some way to ameliorate the left. There's no reason to ameliorate the left. The only thing they should do is look at the Constitution, just like you said. Is this the correct thing or is this the incorrect thing? It's obviously the incorrect thing. It would turn everything completely upside down and turn us into, quite literally, a political third world country where everybody that serves in the presidency then looks forward to going to jail right after they leave office. It's absurd on its face, but I do have concerns that the court will try and find some temperate middle in this where there isn't some temperate middle.
Yeah, the law should be completely impervious to politics, but we'll see how that plays out. Sir, it is always a great honor to have you on. We always get straight talk and great analysis. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you, John. God bless you and your audience.
Thank you, sir. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. When we come back, a great conversation about the state of free speech in America. Will Trakeman's going to react to Barbara McQuaid, MSNBC legal analyst, former U.S. attorney, suggesting that maybe it's time for there to be common sense speech restrictions. Our founding fathers thought no speech should be restricted. Somebody's thinking a little bit different. We'll talk about that with Will Trachman right after this.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, folks, welcome back for the commercial break. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we are living in an era where some of the most fundamental freedoms and liberties that we've enjoyed in this country for the last 248 years are under frequent assault. And today was another great example. Over the last few weeks, we've seen several people go on national television saying, hey, maybe it's time to infringe our free speech. One of them, a former U.S. attorney, former chief prosecutor, Barbara McQuaid, argued that there might be a basis for common sense speech restrictions. Our next guest, well, he's more aligned with the way the founding fathers originally thought. He's the general counsel at Mountain States Legal Foundation. Before that, he served as a deputy assistant secretary in the Office of Civil Rights in the Department of Education. Joining us right now, Will Trachman. Will, great to have you on the show.
Thanks, John. Greetings from Denver, Colorado.
It is good to be with you. You have done such great work over the years. And before we get into the conversation about McQuaid, and I'd like to eventually get to maybe Keith Olbermann and his ranting today, but just for people who aren't familiar with the great work of what Mountain States Legal Foundation does, what does it stand for? What sort of work do you do on a daily basis?
Well, we're an enterprising team of liberty-oriented lawyers. So we are the Constitution's representatives. We take our cases to federal court around the country, generally in the Mountain States, but we definitely have cases throughout the country based on free speech, free association, Second Amendment claims, equal protection claims, and then our bread and butter is natural resources and property rights. So certainly something that's under threat today, in addition to speech, is the right to own and use your own property.
Yeah. Those are big issues and things that I think in earlier generations of America, we didn't worry about, but today we really have a reason to worry about this. Yeah, it's really remarkable. So you basically public interest law firm work, right? You represent people that find their rights being infringed and succeed, hopefully succeed in the courts, right?
That's right. So I left the Trump administration on January 20th. I think I was the last one out the door. And 8 days later, came to Mountain States Legal Foundation to take up the charge on behalf of the Constitution. So we're a proud group out in Denver. And looking forward to finding new cases and vindicating the constitutional rights that are definitely under threat today.
Yeah, no, that's so important. So, so important. All right. So the reason some of these fundamental liberties are under such assault right now is that you literally have people going on television using our public airwaves to suggest that maybe it's time to restrain free speech, the practice of free faith. We see censorship creeping into government agencies and government agencies then leveraging that their powers over free speech platforms like we've seen in the Missouri v. Biden case. But this one really jumped out at me. There was a former U.S. attorney, so the former chief prosecutor for one of the 90 plus districts in America, Barbara McQuaid, was on MSNBC. She's a legal analyst now, and she tried to make the case that there is a possible smart way to go about common sense speech restrictions. Would our founding fathers agree with her?
No, I mean, we've seen this type of rhetoric on the Second Amendment already, yep. Where the left is talking about how, you know, we're not trying to take away your rights, but let's just have some common sense, reasonable regulations. It sounds like now they're using the same talking points with regard to free speech. Of course, we do have some limits on free speech.
Sure.
You can't threaten people. You can't express fighting words. You can't create an imminent danger.
Right.
But those are well-established legal exceptions to free speech for the most part. You're allowed to stand on the street corner and speak your piece, even if it's offensive to some people.
Yeah.
Of course, the ACLU got famous by representing neo-Nazis in Skokie, Illinois. And, they have always had the viewpoint, or I guess they once had the viewpoint, that while I may disagree with what you say, I'll fight to the death for your right to say it. And that's clearly not happening these days. I think it's going the way of the dodo bird to suggest that there's a right to speak and to disagree and to civilly have a discussion.
Yeah. Now that's it is remarkable that disagreement now is been taken to the level of lawfare, which is if you disagree with us, we're going to try to take your rights away. And I think that's what you see in the last few years of the censorship machine. And one could argue some of the prosecutions of people. There's just a remarkable effort to weaponize the law to resolve what used to be legitimate political battles and debates. And it is pretty amazing. When you look out at Missouri v. Biden, the case that has really been tracking the government's censorship activities and their pressure on private actors to comply with the government, there seems to have been a fundamental shift in the government's appreciation that, hey, we're supposed to keep our finger out of elections. We're supposed to keep our finger out of the free speech debate. Our job is to serve the American people, not to force service on them. When did that change begin to happen? When did the mentality of someone like an Elvis Chan, who thought it was okay to pass along the FBI's request, when did that begin changing? Is there a period as you look out over your great career where you started to say, you know, people inside the government think it's their job to suppress debate?
I think it's a recent vintage. I mean, maybe I'm being naive, but I think back to the COVID-19 pandemic and how social media entities were being strong-armed to not let misinformation be posted on their sites. Of course, the left has a very unique definition of misinformation. It's information that we don't like. So when the Hunter Biden laptop story or the Chinese lab story come out, those are called misinformation, even though they're true. So I think that's definitely the more recent vintage. But there is a different thread going on here, which is that the left is often talking about how words themselves do harm to people. And so this is just another form of how that theory goes, is that these words are harmful, that the way to counter speech is not with more speech,
right,
but to suppress it and to make people feel like, sensitive people not feel the pain of the words in their ears that hurt them.
Yeah, that's it. You know, in almost any other generation, and by the way, if you look at the big cases in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, the left was on this side of it, which is the answer to offensive speech, if you're offended by someone's speech, is more speech, not restraining the person's speech. Somehow that flipped. The left is on the other side of this argument now. It's pretty remarkable. It seems as though there was this sort of NGO world. Now, all of these big tech guys and the Bill Gates and the Craig Newmarks and others, they started these foundations, and it seemed to grow this idea that somehow there ought to be a truth police in America. That, and of course, once that happens, it's usually just the truth of the beholder that becomes enforced. But it seems like it kind of grew out of a world of nonprofit think tanks, and then all of a sudden got mainstreamed into the government. Is there any positive signs that you see in pushing back at this, or is this going to be an inevitable march toward more infringement, or do you think there's a counteraction beginning to appear in America to fight this sort of mentality?
Well, I'm always trying to be an optimist, John. You know, I look for the silver lining in anything. I think that there is a definite problem at the university level where this problem continues to get worse and worse and worse. And so a student who actually wants to express conservative viewpoints, you know, God forbid pro-Trump or, you know, pro-life viewpoints, is going to have an even harder time. But just generally conservative viewpoints, like, I think that maybe capitalism is good, is going to have a very tough time going on
that university
campus and saying those things. On the other hand, there are groups like Mountain States and, you know, a number of groups around the country that do great First Amendment work that make schools pay the price for, you know, suppressing speech. Of course, you need a very brave student who's willing to put their name out there and file a complaint on behalf of themselves. Most of the time, if you're a young student like that and you've got your whole future ahead of you, you're more inclined to go along and get along than actually bring a lawsuit. But if there is a silver lining, it's that there are more and more precedents in this area that protect speech, whether it's student speech or public employee speech or business speech like the Masterpiece Cake Shop. So we are seeing a legal trend, at least, in the right direction, even if not, you know, a social trend or a cultural trend toward free speech.
Yeah, that's a great point. And the courts have been really one of the primary lines of defense in this encroachment. It's been remarkable and, I guess, refreshing to see that the law ultimately has sorted out consistent thus far with where our founding fathers were when we created the Bill of Rights and so many of the other great work they did to form this country. There's a second part of this, and I think that some of this censorship and encroachment is also rooted in the idea of intolerance, which is, if you don't like it my way, I want to cancel you. And we've seen that in many different manifestations. But today there was a really particularly jarring one. Keith Olbermann used to be at the pinnacle of sports reporting for a long time at ESPN. Then he was really the face for a long time of MSNBC News. And today, when the Supreme Court ruled 9-0 in favor of Donald Trump, that he couldn't be thrown off by a state for an insurrection he wasn't convicted of, Keith Olbermann uttered these words on X. And again, no one's calling to censor him. It's just worth pointing out. This is a direct quote from Keith Olbermann. The Supreme Court has betrayed democracy. Its members, including Jackson, Kagan, and Sotomayor, so he's taking on the liberals, have proved themselves inept at reading comprehension. And collectively, the court has shown itself to be corrupt and illegitimate. It must be dissolved. And here we have a once very prominent journalist thinking, well, this court ruling didn't go my way, so therefore we should just dissolve the institution. Where did that mindset come in from?
Well, if only Keith Olbermann had stuck to sports commentating, he might have a fantastic career currently.
Yeah,
I don't know where this is coming from. Obviously, it's unhinged to try to talk about dissolving the Supreme Court. And I don't even think that this is a well-thought-through take, because even Keith Olbermann probably appreciates some precedents like Obergefell, same-sex marriage, and the right to privacy in a number of cases. So I don't think he really thought through this take before he posted it. But in any event, I think the idea is, going back to the question of, are you causing harm through your words? I'm glad that Keith Olbermann isn't censored. I think the more that Keith Olbermann is allowed to embarrass himself on X, the better for the rest of us to make the judgment that this guy is not someone that you want to pay attention to.
That's
now, the worst thing that you could do would suppress the speech and then make him a martyr
make people
more interested.
Yeah.
So I think, I think this is an instinct that doesn't really serve anyone well, but at least it's out there. And now we know that this guy is so far out there that he needs not be listened to.
Yeah, I think that's right. He's isolating himself in the far extreme of thought. And it's amazing to watch a guy devolve to that, because obviously for a period of time, he commanded an audience and a lot of respect. I mean, his sports reporting early on was really at the heyday of ESPN. But today, it just looks so remarkably stark and jarring and intolerant. That's the word that keeps coming to mind. As you look out over the next few months, there are some very big cases ahead of us. Today, the Supreme Court, I think, clearly interpreted literally what the Constitution said about being able to jettison a president from the ballot. There's another one before them, right, which is going to be the case involving presidential immunity and whether acts that a president takes while he's still in the employment of the presidency are thus immune from litigation or prosecution. Given what the rationale that the court used today in the 5 majority and, quite frankly, 9 majority for most of it, do you have any guess or what's your thinking on how the immunity case plays out, given the very careful parsing of the words today that the Constitution has? They literally interpreted the words as they were written.
Well, my tea leaves are broken. I don't know how the court is going to rule on the immunity case. You know, I've seen some people say, now that they've ruled in favor of Trump 9-0, that gives them the credibility that they need
in order
to reject his immunity claim. And I just don't buy that. I think they're going to take each case as it is before them. I think it's very hard to argue that a sitting president who does several things in his official capacity as president can be criminally liable. Just, you know, in some way, the logic can be a little bit similar to the case that was decided today, because the idea is, if you accepted this premise, wouldn't it lead to chaos?
Yeah.
And that's going to be true also in the immunity case, because you can imagine the Trump administration, if they come back to power in January, prosecuting Joe Biden.
Yeah, sure.
Suppose there's a crime for which there's no statute of limitations. Why not President Obama? Why not President Clinton?
Yeah.
You know, if there's a bombing in the Middle East that went wrong and, you know, some folks were killed, why isn't that a criminal charge of negligent manslaughter that may not have a statute of limitations? So I just suspect that the court is going to come to this case again, wondering, if we say yes this time, where does that lead us in terms of precedent?
That's a great point. And also, when you get into the brilliance of the founding fathers, they actually had the temperance to realize that somewhere down the road in this history, emotion would want to trump these principles. And they just built in things so that the emotion couldn't overrule the common sense that they had put into the foundation of this great constitutional republic. And it's kind of remarkable now, 240 years in a very emotional, divisive time in American history, that sort of dispassionate, hey, both sides have to feel fairly treated, is still standing the test of time in today's ruling. It's, I guess, some of the genius of the founding of this country, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. My con law professor would analogize to asking his wife to remind him not to eat ice cream after dinner. And, you know, the Constitution is the idea that when we're subject to the whims of our impulses, we need a higher calling to remind us, no, we wanted a certain thing at the beginning, and it's freedom and liberty and the protection of the government, not the government intruding on our rights.
It's pretty darn important that we appreciate exactly what this founding of the country was rooted in, because there's just so much wisdom in it. And it didn't matter what side they were on in the political debate at the time. They wanted to make sure that these sort of things didn't get hijacked. And I think the test of time is that it's still working today, all these years later. Real quickly, Will, what's the best way for folks to stay engaged with all the great work you're doing and all the great work that goes on every day at Mountain States Legal Foundation?
Excellent. Well, visit us at mslegal.org. We're obviously looking for supporters, but we're also looking for great cases to bring. And so for your listeners who are in that sphere where their First Amendment, Second Amendment, or equal protection or property rights are being infringed, we want to hear about it. We want to take a stand and make sure that those rights are vindicated so that we can secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity.
That is a darn important mission and one that everyone should go check out. MSLegal.org, guys. That's pretty easy to remember. Well, what a great honor to have you on. I hope we make this a regular thing, get you back on the podcast regularly. But great, great conversation today.
Absolutely. Thanks, John.
Thank you, sir. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up for the day. What a day to be talking about. We'll be right back after these messages.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. A big thank you to Congressman Scott Perry and to Will Drakeman for two really robust conversations. A lot of food for thought in today's conversations. Be sure to check out my story about Hunter Biden's relationship with the indicted oligarch, Dmitry Firtash. Pretty important stuff there. And of course, if you want to support the Alliance Defending Freedom, be sure to go to adf.org/John for my name, J-O-H-N, to make a donation and get in there. Now, I got one other group that I'd like to mention to you because they have been with us for a very long time. I'm very excited for them. Birch Gold Group. They are some of the most trusted people in all of the financial world. Birch Gold are there if you want to diversify a portion of your savings into gold. Why? Because the markets are so unstable and inflation is so stubborn and prices keep going up and the economy feels like it's just in an uncomfortable area. That's a good time to hedge. That's what gold is there for hedging your bet when the economy feels so uneven. Birch Gold can make it easy for you to own gold and to convert an existing IRA or 401k to a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. You don't pay a penny out of pocket. You can just simply move it over. Text the word Just News to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious special metal specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. All you got to do, text the word Just News to 989898. I want to thank Birch Gold for its longtime partnership with us here. It's been a great, great partnership. All right, that wraps it up today. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports. Until then, God bless you. Have a great evening and be sure to check out justthenews.com or download the Just the News apps in the Android and Apple stores for your smartphone, your tablet. And of course, you can also sign up for the Just the News daily newsletter. 40 big stories every morning to wake up to, news you can trust. All you got to do is go to justthenews.com/newsletter, justthenews.com/newsletter. All right, folks, that wraps it up. We'll be back tomorrow with more programming and important stories. Until then, God bless you. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.